Hello, you're listening to your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast. And before we start our episode, we want to say thank you to all the fans who've been supporting us to this time. And if you're a new fan or just now listening, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Not Another Sports Podcast. And at Twitter, N_A_S_podcast. Now enjoy the show.
Not Another Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. I'm here with my co-hosts, Kevin and Jordan.
Yo, what's up? This is Kevin.
Yes, sir. And this is Jordan.
Yes, sir. You know how we kick it off here? We got something positive. My something positive this week is Ja'Marr Chase. He said he can't catch the ball because he can't see the white stripes. The NFL football know how the white stripes on the end. And I'm here to call flag on play. We used to work out with the NFL football, and bro, if you ain't learned how to catch by now, then go ahead and wrap it up, big dog. But I think it's a confidence thing. Anyway, how y'all feel about what y'all got positive for this week?
I'm alive, man. We're here.
It's always positive.
We're here.
No doubt. I was ready to come in here and say my apartment and the fact that the Braves are still in first place, but I gotta give my positive to Mackenzie Milton. Shout out to him. They did a special on him for College Game Day this morning. I found out a lot more that I didn't know, really. I remember when he got hurt, and I kind of just forgot about him, for real. But I found out today that, like, basically when he was on the field, they lost the pulse in his foot. So basically, they needed to rush him to the hospital and perform emergency surgery so they could get blood flow back in his foot, or else he would have lost his foot. And he was going through rehab and all that, and basically the doctor told him that it was a small chance that he'd ever walk again, and an even smaller chance that he'll ever play again. And basically the only thing he said was, "So you're telling me I got a chance?" And he went through rehab, was the scout team quarterback for UCF, and then he transferred to Florida State, and then they played Notre Dame, and then the starting quarterback lost his helmet, and then Mackenzie Milton went in, and then the rest was history. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought that was a good, interesting story, and I very motivating. Seeing my brother go through what he was going through this whole past year, my eyes were a little sweaty this morning. It was I could see the parallels and just the determination that he was going through, and it was a little motivational just for me from the outside looking in. So yeah, that's my positive for the week.
Yes, sir. With that being said, we're gonna move on to the weekly recap. Today, this episode is recorded on 9/11. Shout out to 9/11.
Shout out.
Amen. We got what they say, never forget. So I'm shouting it out. But yeah, I was old enough to remember. I mean, I'm old enough to remember exactly where I was. I was in third grade. Nobody really knew what was going on at the time. Honestly, nobody really knew what was going on. Years later, I don't really have too many thoughts on it. Just never forget. How do y'all feel about 9/11?
I remember where I was. I was at the house, getting ready to go to pre-K, I would assume. My mom was in the bathroom. I remember just walking in, and then she was in there crying. I don't know. This was like right after my dad died, so I just assumed that was why she was crying. And then I went to school, and I remember them having on the news, and I felt like that was kind of weird when, like, we were like in pre-K and y'all have the news on. Like, usually we have on cartoons right now. Like, what's going on? So I knew something was different, but I didn't really grasp what was going on until like I was older. And I could remember back on the day, and I was like, oh yeah, so now I get like what was all going on. But yeah, I was like 4 at the time, so I don't really have that many strong memories of 9/11.
Same. I was a kid. I was like 5. Obviously, we learned about 9/11 growing up. It's an unfortunate day. It's an unfortunate time in history. And my condolences and prayers to everyone who lost a loved one or may have been affected by that event. You know.
Amen. With that being said, shout out to the Yankees and the Mets. They play tonight. It's going to be the 20th anniversary.
Yeah. It's basically a replay of when they played, when Mike Piazza hit that, I think it was a walk-off home run, I believe.
It was a home run in seven.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that big moment. They're trying to recapture that.
With that being said, we're going to move on to our NFL predictions. So, we're going to go game by game, quickly picking our teams. So, that being said, Thursday night game, I think we all picked Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but we can talk about that one at the end.
Yeah. First up, we got Philly and Atlanta. I'm going Atlanta. Who y'all got?
I'm going Philly. I feel like this is going to be a good show to see how advanced their team is from last year. And I feel like Jalen is going to get it done.
Going with Philly. Think Philly got a little bit more than Atlanta. Atlanta has a great offense. Want to see what Kyle Pitts do. It's opening day. Just don't think they have a defense like usual. So, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Josh Allen got something to prove, and he my fantasy quarterback. So I'm going with Buffalo.
Yeah, y'all know how I feel about Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills.
Although I have Buffalo making a pretty deep run and winning their division, I had them losing. I think the Steelers gonna get this dub. Coming into the season, TJ Watt just got paid. Defense is elite. Ben Roethlisberger got to start off hot. So,
Minnesota and Cincinnati. Y'all see what I opened the episode with? So I'm going with Minnesota.
Shout out to Tyler Boyd. He's not gonna be able to get it done alone, though. I'm gonna go with Minnesota.
Probably an easy dub for Minnesota. Shout out to Joe Burrow coming back off the ACL injury. Let's see how he do. Shout out to T. Higgins. He will be joining my fantasy team next week. So I'm going to need you to ball out.
San Francisco and Detroit. Jimmy got to prove it. If he loses this one, his seat is getting very warm, but I'm going San Francisco.
I think the talent around that team is too good for Jimmy G to mess it up this week. So I got San Francisco as well.
I'm going to not even acknowledge that y'all act like Jimmy Garoppolo not a good quarterback. But
did you?
But they're playing Detroit. Come on now. San Francisco, easy.
Tennessee, Arizona at Tennessee. Hail King Henry or whatever they be saying on ESPN. So Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. I like Arizona. I think they gonna make it closer than people expected, but I don't think they have enough on offense.
Nobody can stop Derrick Henry on the defensive end for Arizona. Tennessee.
And the next one we got Seattle at Indianapolis. In Russ we trust. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, Seattle. This is gonna be interesting to see how ready Carson Wentz was, because he did come back on the early end of a 5 to 12 week prognosis. So let's see how ready he is. And Quentin Nelson also had the same exact injury and came back, and I believe he also got hurt again, but he should play this week.
With Seattle, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and Torrey Lockett gonna have a big game. Think the defense steps up. I do not see Carson Wentz. Yes, Carson Wentz is poop. I don't overthink the injury would have made me think differently.
Our next West Coast team playing on the East Coast, the Chargers at the football team. I'm going with the football team. They have a better defense. And I feel like the time change is going to mess them up. I don't think it really affects them in the NFL, but I saw it last year when the Rams played the played Miami. So, Washington.
To your point, the Rams actually have a really, really good record in that what would be an 11 o'clock game on the East Coast. They have a really good record. That was really the only game they struggled in. But,
o'clock.
Huh?
10 o'clock.
But yeah. 1, 12, 11. Okay. Yeah. But, yeah. I feel like, all that said, I feel like the Chargers are going to come out there and start their season off strong. They got to make a statement, and this would be a good way to start it. But I do feel like their defense is going to be ferocious, and it's going to be closer than most people expect.
Yes, I expect this to be a good game. Depending on what Ryan Fitzpatrick you get, this team has a high ceiling and really a low ceiling, too, because either winning the division or losing the division all the way at the bottom. But I'm going to go with the Chargers. They Justin Herbert, I don't think they're going to win the division or come in second, but I think they're going to start off well. And he's going to be a star, but I just don't think it's the Chargers' time right now. But they definitely could get the week one win.
Next up, Sam Darnold is playing his old team. Jets at Carolina. I got Carolina. I think that they have the better weapons around him. And the Jets on Jets.
I feel like this is going to be an interesting game aside from the storyline, because I don't feel like either team is really that good, so you're going to get a real competitive game. That being said, I'm going to go with Carolina just because I don't trust Bryce. What's the dude's name? Zach Wilson. I keep trying to call him Bryce Wilson because he pitches for the Braves, but I don't trust Zach Wilson yet. I will have to see what he looks like. And I don't think that their O-line is good enough right now. Plus, I don't know about the weapons on the outside. So, all that being said, I'm going to go with Carolina.
I'm going to go with Carolina as well. I think New York, like I said before in the previous episode, I think they're going to shock a lot of people by being a lot more competitive than most think. And I think this is going to be the first test of it. It's going to be a good game. I think Zach Wilson going to impress. But like Jordan said, I know they have Corey Davis, but I don't know how much help he has on the outside. And I don't know how much running, you know.
They got Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's a decent running game. But it's not a lot compared to what Sam Darnold has. Sam Darnold got a lot more at his disposal. Plus, he got Christian McCaffrey. And I don't know if the Jets defense have enough to slow down Christian McCaffrey, especially if he comes back healthy. So I got Carolina winning a good one.
Another game against two trash teams, Jacksonville at Houston. I'm going Houston with this one because I feel like they have a little bit more stability than Jacksonville, just a little bit. They got Jacksonville has a first-year head coach, first-year quarterback. Those things don't mix well in the NFL. So Houston. And they got Tyrod.
I feel like both of these teams will get their only win of the season against each other. But to start the season off, I think Houston is going to get the first one.
I think both teams going to win more than one game. But I think Jacksonville is going to win this first game. I see a lot of potential in Jacksonville. I see a lot of potential with Trevor Lawrence. Interested to see how Urban Meyer gets the job done with all the rumors that's been circulated before they even play a game. But everybody talk about how bad Jacksonville and the turmoil there, but Houston is just as bad. Even though, Brandon, you did say they have a little bit more stability, I still think it's a confused and lost franchise that's still weighing on Deshaun Watson's future. So I think they're in the same boat with Jacksonville.
I could see them winning more than one game, but I wouldn't bet like on 3 or 4.
Cleveland at Kansas City. I'm going Cleveland with this one. I feel like Baker Mayfield has to show that he can, as Kevin always say, play with Odell. So this is the game you prove it. This is supposed to be the automatic, at least AFC, one of the AFC championship participants. That's the way they're looking at Kansas City. So I feel like they lose an early one, give folks something to talk about. Oh, is Kansas City falling off? Huh. We'll see, though. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad loss. Browns aren't a bad team anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas City. I still think Cleveland is going to win the division, but I don't know if they're going to be as good as advertised.
Excuse me.
In this one game, I feel like they're going to have to click, especially on defense, for a while. So I think that it's going to take a week or two.
So you said Kansas City?
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas City.
I'm taking Kansas City as well. Baker Mayfield got to show me. You got to show me you can play with Odell. And I'm going to keep saying it until he shows me. And he got to show me consistently. And when I see that, then I believe in the Browns. But right now, I don't see it. Kansas City. It's going to be a good game, though, because Cleveland can control the clock.
Next up, we got another good one. New England and Miami. I'm going Miami with this one. I feel like Tua has more weapons around him. Yes, Matt got tight ends, but where really did, on the outside, did they create a deep threat? Julian Edelman gone. Well, Julian Edelman wasn't a deep threat, but he was sure-handed. I feel like they'll probably be able to run the ball, but I'm still going with Miami.
This one was the hardest one for me to pick. I'm leaning towards Miami, and I really want Tua to win this game because I want people to shut up at least for a week. But I don't know. Like, I honestly feel like the Patriots are a better team, and I feel like they have more weapons right now that are healthy and not suspended. But I'm going to go with Miami. I feel like just the fact that Tua has to win this game, I feel like there's a lot more pressure on him than is on Mac. And I feel like Tua will somehow come up under that pressure and win this game.
Mac Jones probably will have a solid career, but it's not going to start with a dub. This Miami defense is going to get at him. It's going to rattle him. They have lockdown corners on both ends of the field. I don't believe Mac Jones is just going to come in and have a field day. He's probably going to be precise and have good numbers, but I don't think it's going to be something that's really dominant, especially with the weapons they have. So, which means lack of. So, I see Miami winning this game.
While we on this subject, have y'all ever in life heard anybody go on and on about somebody not being named captain in the preseason?
Sometimes. It depends on who the person is. Like
who?
Like, if it's supposed to be someone they expect is a captain or someone that they... Are you talking about, like, Tua situation?
Right.
I mean, I think that is a big deal.
I've never heard this conversation ever in life.
I heard it a couple of times. I can't, like, really come off the dome with the names, but I did hear it a few times. Like, it's just selective on the person.
Shout out to Not Another Sports Podcast, because this is the first time I'm hearing it.
Well, they were making a big deal about Tua not being named captain, but it's based off the player's name, the captain, and it doesn't. If I'm a player in the locker room, why would I name him the captain if the coaches don't even have faith in him? Like, but
that plays into it. If the players got to believe in you, like, the coaches and them can.
How am I going to believe in you if y'all don't believe in him? If he's not going to be here next week, how the hell am I supposed to believe in him?
I mean, didn't y'all say if you can feel, like, tension in your teammates, if you know all of that, it can affect your play, right?
Will said that.
I mean, but how do you know that the players don't respect him as a what's-a-call?
But I don't think him being a captain, him being in trade talks and on the block has anything to do with him being a captain, though.
See,
I still feel like you can be a captain and get traded. Punters be captains and get cut.
Another thing nobody's talking about is the fact that you actually have to write down your name and put it in the box and say, I want to be captain. Did anybody check and see if Tua did that? Or we just ran with this lazy-ass narrative?
That's concerning. I mean, but that's concerning if he didn't put his name in the box.
He's not going to be there!
Like,
why would I want to be a captain of a team and they don't want me?
So you just gave up on yourself. You just gave up on everything.
So you want me to go out there and say I want to be captain, pick me, and I'm gonna be gone in two weeks? You literally saying that you want me gone? No. Why should I want to be the captain?
If you go out there and dominate, if you go out there and play at a high level, all of that talk goes out the window. The reason that they have any of this discussion about him is reasonable. It's not them being shady. It's not them giving up on him. These are reasonable concerns they have about Tua, which could lead them to trading him. And if you can trade Tua for Deshaun Watson, most people would do it.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't. All I'm saying is this is a dumb argument because it doesn't make sense. If you're not putting your faith and you're not putting that stamp of approval of, yes, he's our guy. They've had multiple opportunities to say Tua is our guy, and they never said
it, bro. Like,
okay, I get that.
The first year you was losing time to Ryan Fitzpatrick, bro.
Okay,
and you a top five.
So say your boss has the favorite of the workers, but all the other coworkers are like, okay, he should be the leader. But that person doesn't, like the boss doesn't say he's the leader. Are they going to follow that person? Or are they going to say, well, you haven't said he's the leader, so why should I follow him? Does that not make sense?
I mean, it does, but I feel like that's the wrong way for anybody to look at it, though. Because if you believe in your quarterback and if you want him to succeed, you will pick him up. And if he's being a leader, if he's showing leadership qualities, if he's been in there, first one in, last one out, they say, putting in that time to prove the Miami Dolphins organization that his hip, his injuries is not a constant thing, his turnovers is not a constant thing, him grasping the playbook is something he's gonna do and it's not gonna be the same thing as last year, then the organization will keep him off the trade block. They drafted him as a top 10 pick for a reason. They believe in him. Them drafting him like that shows you. They didn't take Justin Herbert. And a lot of people are now saying they should be, you know, kicking themselves in the, you know, for doing that. So they took you over someone that now people are saying are better than you. So you got to prove to them. It's not on the Dolphins for them to, you know, pacify this dude. Like, and I feel like if you're not putting your name in the box to be the captain, that's concerning because you are not a top 10, top 15, whatever pick. You're not the person that they thought they was when you drafted them, because a leader is going to, a real franchise quarterback is going to put their name in the box. Don't even have to put their name in the box. Walk in and say, y'all know what's up. I'm leading y'all.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, once
I have leadership work.
I mean, it's you're a figure of expression, more of like, but you want to be the leader.
If you're the face of the franchise quarterback, but they haven't made him the face of the franchise quarterback.
What reason did he give them to stamp him like that? What reason?
Them drafting him at
fifth.
And look
what happened, bro. I'm telling you.
I mean, he didn't mess up that situation. They messed up that situation by throwing Ryan Fitzpatrick in there for no reason. How do you expect him to grow if you don't give him the opportunity to grow?
You lost. I'm not just going to sit there and say they just threw Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. Like, he was not performing.
Well, right? Then they should have just kept him in there the whole season then. That's their fault.
What was their fault was that they had too much talent, more than what I guess they thought they had. Because in the midst of all of that, they were still winning games. Some games that they wasn't supposed to, and they ended up with a 10-6 record. So when it got to a point where it's like, we can make the playoffs, Tua in here freaking messing up.
Well,
we
then
put Ryan Fitzpatrick
in.
They
were,
you know,
in that same position when they took Ryan Fitzpatrick out, so they should be looking at themselves with that same energy. It's not just Tua's fault.
I was just about to say, I won't sit here and say it's just Tua's fault. It's probably on both, but at the same time, we can't just dismiss Tua.
Hey, man, all I'm saying
is
all of this started from the fact that I think that it's stupid that we sitting over here looking at who's captain, who's not. I feel like that's a dumb debate to have. Like, I've never heard this topic come up before, ever.
I don't think it's a big deal, but I can understand why people talk about it.
And moving on to the next game. Green Bay at New Orleans. It's not really at New Orleans, it's being played in Jacksonville. I'm going Green Bay in this game. New Orleans got a lot going on right now. And Jameis hasn't shown that he can be the most consistent quarterback. We know he has talent, but we're going to see. Yeah, and I think the fact that it is not being played in New Orleans actually helps Green Bay a lot, because New Orleans' home fan base is an added weapon. Home field advantage is a real thing when you play here. So I'm going Green Bay.
Yeah. Basically, Brendan stole my thunder at the end. If it was in New Orleans, I would have picked New Orleans, but it's not. So, Green Bay.
I was going to pick Green Bay no matter where this thing was played. It's Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. Saints have no answer. I don't think Jameis Winston. I think he's going to have a great season, but I don't think he's going to outplay Aaron Rodgers.
Nope. Next, we got Denver at the Giants. I'm going... Giants. Saquon back. Shout out to him. They go as he goes. Giants.
I don't think that that's a, as outrageous of a pick as Kevin making it out to seem. I just don't trust Daniel Jones right now. I trust Teddy Bridgewater a smidge more. So, yeah, I'm going to go that way. Go Denver.
Von Miller's back. This defense is going to cause a lot of chaos this year. Teddy Bridgewater, we already know he's going to come in and get the job done, and he's not going to lose the game for you. So, Denver.
He's not. And our Sunday night game is Chicago at the Rams. I'm going with the Rams here. They're playing at home Sunday night, opening night. They have, I ain't going to say the better defense, but they have two of the top defensive players in the league. They have a good scheme. We're going to see what Matthew Stafford got to say. Is this the team that's going, was he the missing piece that was going to win them a Super Bowl? So I'm going Rams here.
I'm going to go with the Rams. They're the one team in this matchup that's not actively handicapping themselves. So, yeah, I feel like Brendan said, they have a good enough defense to stop. Not that much on offense. And they have a good enough offense to get the job done and control the clock.
Going with the Rams, it's going to be a long, hurtful, painful 2-interception day for Andy Dalton to start the season.
Just two? Just two?
Give or take. Give or take four.
I'm going to go on the over on that one.
Think more than two?
Yes.
CJ will get one, probably, you know, one. Just a bonehead.
Monday Night Football.
Are you ready for the football?
It's a Monday night party. Baltimore at Las Vegas. I think we're all consensus here going Baltimore, but I guess we got to go around the table and say it.
No, we can take this time to let Kevin wallow in his misery. Go ahead, buddy. Yeah, I am too.
Never in my life have I seen the starting, the second, the third, and the fourth.
And the fifth.
And the fifth running back.
Not one,
not two.
We are literally on a six-string running back.
Off the streets.
And our second best corner is done too.
Hey, amen.
Bro, like. We suck. No, like I told Jordan earlier, y'all was like, they need to get at VCK landscaping, bro. You know what I'm saying? I can cut the grass. I can make sure all the hills are evened up, lined up, like something, because they playing on rocks. Because how all of them tear their ACLs, bro? I know one was in the game, but come on now. Like, everybody else, it's like, what y'all practicing on? Like, what diet y'all on?
Right. They walked in the room and said, should we sign Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman? And John Harbaugh said, they belong to the streets.
Bro, we didn't even think about bringing on Todd Gurley or anything like that, but I think he's too slow to run in our system.
Dang. You know you bad off when somebody that Atlanta signed don't even make the team. Y'all suck.
Yeah. And our first round pick, Bateman is not even playing the first game.
Yeah, I know. He's on my IR.
So it's like, dang.
Shout out to the fact that I advocated for two IR spots.
No cap. But for real, I'm still excited for this season. I'm still excited for Lamar. I still think Lamar's going to show a lot of people something different. And even if we don't like make it far, I still think he's going to show that all of this passing narrative is not it. All we need is just a little bit more weapons or a healthy Bateman whenever he decides he's going to come back. So obviously, I think we're going to beat the Raiders. Like, it's the Raiders. And our defense is still elite, even with Marcus Peters. We still have, like, four or five elite DBs, and we still have a pass rush. So, no matter what, I think we're going to be competitive. Still shock some people. I think Lamar is the key. If Patrick Mahomes can be this superstar guy that can lift the Chiefs up, and Deshaun Watson can be that guy, and Josh Allen can be that guy, I cold-heartedly believe Lamar Jackson can be that guy.
Hey, man. Maybe. We're going to go back and talk about the Dallas and Tampa Bay game. Not long. We got to move on from the segment. I just want to say, Dallas offensive play calling is terrible. There's no reason Dak should have 58 pass attempts and Zeke only had 11 rushing attempts. So, that's all I got to say. But shout out to CeeDee Lamb.
That's not Zeke's fault, though.
He did give me 14. I'm answering his Zeke fault. I prefer to play calling. Head ass. But yeah, shout out to CeeDee Lamb. He got me 13 points, I think.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with the play calling per se, except for like maybe the last drive or two. But they didn't have Zach Martin, and their offensive line is getting kind of old, so they've really trying to morph their throwing game into the extension of the running game. That's why I think it was only like 7 or 8 passes by Dak were over 10 yards. So yeah, they were trying to keep it close to the line of scrimmage to make it kind of an extension of the run game. Now, once it got to the fourth quarter, that's when you kind of want to lean on Zeke and kind of kill the clock, because you did give Tom Brady a minute and 24 seconds left. So that's the only real issue I had with their play calling. But other than that, I was kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting Dallas to play as well as they did. But I still got them finishing third in the NFC.
I already said Dak was fine. And he came out and he showed he's fine and he's healthy. They just got to protect him and keep it upright. The offensive line, they talked all that smack coming up into the week. But they held their own for the most part of the game. The majority of the game, they held their own.
Yeah, I think they only gave up one sack.
Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, they perform and exceeded expectations for week one. Although Chris Godwin fumbled a touchdown, which probably could have changed the game.
Boy, that changed my fantasy game. Tell you what, that would have been another touchdown.
Yeah, like that changed the game right there with that. And Tom Brady got to cut off the picks. Like last year, we were seeing like in the NFC Championship, we said Tom Brady was trying to give the game away. He had two picks in opening night.
Neither one of those picks, the one that was to Leonard Fournette, literally was Leonard Fournette's fault.
Yeah, and I think one was a Hail Mary, but right. It's just like still like, you know, those accumulate, you know, over time, and people have narratives, so, you know, those accumulate.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I don't see how that Hail Mary is going to affect anything.
Not that one.
Are you talking about like stats?
Stats, and this is the eye test, everything. Like, that Hail Mary's not going to be the interception. That's what I'm saying that's going to hurt him. I'm just saying, like, in general, his interceptions. Because he ended last season on that run as well. And people were saying he was trying to give up the game. I just peeped that from my perspective, looking at it. Like, Tom Brady just needs not to throw interceptions. I'm not talking about the Hail Mary one, but the other one. And just from the trend he's been on. Just my analysis of the game. And with Dallas, I think they, with Zeke, they can't fall in love with Dak Prescott and be like, oh, we pay him all this money and stuff like that. They just come and fall in love with Mark. People say he's the best receiver in the league and got CeeDee Lamb and stuff, and just start flinging it, like paid Ezekiel Elliott a lot of money and from the looks of it and on the game the other night, he didn't look like he was slowing down, you know. He didn't look like he was old. He didn't look slow. He didn't look like he didn't have it anymore. I think you just got to give him more touches and stuff like that. And I know probably the offensive line, Zach Martin not being there probably was a key to that not being a reason. But you got to give him the ball. But more than what, 12 times?
11.
Yeah, you got to give him, Zeke need at least about 20 touches. And I don't know why in the world you have a dude who comes off a broken ankle and a bum shoulder and have him come out there and throw 53 passes and stuff. Like, it's a 17-game season now. Like, and you already have issues with him, his health. You think that's just the way to start off, just slinging it?
You say he ain't had no problem.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, you still have to. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Now, you talking about somebody who needs to change the narrative. Ronald Jones, that's somebody who needs to change the narrative. He had a couple of fumbles in the playoffs. He fumbled again in the opening night. And they didn't bring Giovanni Bernard in for no reason. So, you better watch your back, buddy.
Leonard Fournette took the starting spot, didn't he?
I don't know.
He did that last year, playoff win.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was going to get the majority of the reps, but you still got to bring in Ronald Jones to catch the ball. And if he not gonna hold on to the ball, they just gonna bring in Giovanni Bernard for that.
We got NCAA week recap. I'm gonna quickly run through this. Bama did what Bama does. Oklahoma sucks. Ohio State tried to blow it.
Yeah, it's blowing it now.
They finna. Clemson sucks. Georgia sucks. Auburn sucks.
Everybody not
Tennessee.
Everybody not named Alabama is trash. Ohio North State Florida. Almost. I said what I said. Ohio State almost blew it. They blowing it now. They driving. It's 35-21 with 8:26 left. But yeah, they probably gonna lose this game. They can't stop Oregon. And
that's what happened when
we suck. Yeah. LSU sucks. They lost to UCLA. Now we got to hear that West Coast chatter.
Bruh, it's LSU. Right. They suck.
Coach O don't know when to shut up. That's nothing new. Okay. Ole Miss beat the brakes off of Louisville last night, apparently.
That's the first time I seen it on ESPN. I didn't even know they played. It's like, I got a cost light. This a game last night?
I feel like that's it. Roll Tide. Shout out to Bryce Young. I'm finna turn that game on in a second.
Go Gators. I think we found ourselves a quarterback, you know what I'm saying? I think we just giving our boy Emory Jones the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, because of who we're playing to start the season off. But I'm assuming by next week, we might see a change at the helm.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of next week, we'll be in Gainesville, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Live
from Alabama at Florida.
Yeah, yes, sir. We're going to do a live pod.
With that being said, we're going to move on to the Let's Try This Again segment. The first one is from the 1551 mark of the last call episode. It says, the Ravens will win the AFC North.
Yes, sir.
I still don't see no reason why we can't.
Yeah.
But same you didn't pick them.
Same way we didn't see no reason why the Falcons shouldn't win no Super Bowl.
Same way we didn't see no reason why we couldn't pick them before the season, but we still didn't because they not going to do it.
Nah, this definitely hurt our chances.
Go buy a running back. Y'all can go buy a running back.
Who's out there?
Me. Shit, I will run straight to the out of bounds.
I'm just saying, bro.
Give me a cool $500,000, I will be out there in full pads.
My only thing is I can't run, you know what I'm saying? I can't tuck the ball. Both hands on my walker.
Not dead. We need somebody out there. It's gonna be rough.
Shoot, you tell them not to hit me too hard. I run a good 10 yards. and slide. That'll be the agreement.
If I take the fan out of me and I just sit back and look at what's happening, I give us 9-10 wins.
9-10 wins. That's good for third?
Yeah.
Ooh, yikes.
We're not finna be going out there, but who gonna be better than us? The Bengals?
I was just asking. I don't see them being better than y'all.
I had us winning the division, but when we ended up on a 6th string,
anyway, we're going to move on to the next one. Sir, Jordan said with much confidence that Clemson was going to beat UGA at the 21-20 mark of last week's week zero episode. Well,
two weeks ago's week zero episode.
He said it last week.
I did say it last week as well.
He said it last week as well. So.
I did not think that Dabo would allow. What is Dabo coach, bro? Like, what does he coach? They have Brent Venables there for defense. Who's is he the offensive coordinator?
He is what coach he was.
Bro, that man just get up there and smile and wave. Bro, do something. Like, tell them to run the ball more.
All of it is his system, but he probably let his coaches coach.
Bro, this man basically turned on the Super Bowl film and said, that's what I want to do. Why is nobody blocking, bruh? Like, if you see that they're sending everybody every play, why would you not leave people in there to block? That doesn't make sense to me. Like,
so you just gotta keep
screen,
bruh. Like,
you gonna keep blaming Dabo, huh?
It was Dabo's fault. He the head coach.
Are we not? So I'm.
So players play.
I mean. How do you expect that man? How do you expect DJ to throw the ball if there are six people in his face every play? That doesn't make sense to me.
You gotta put your players in the six.
I can see if he had time in the pocket or if he was actually missing passes.
That was a horrible game for Clemson University.
I didn't say it wasn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's literally what I just said.
Nah, because you like the key. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. That's your, you know, I'm just saying, like, you just get on Dabo a lot. I just wanted to make clear to the audience that DJ played a horrible game.
I mean, I wasn't finished, though. Like, the pick six was definitely his fault.
Yeah.
But other than that, this man had zero time. Like, literally none. They had one good drive, and that was because the defense forced a fumble. That's it.
Is that not just because Georgia defense is really good?
No. I don't know.
I mean, we can find out.
Because I think Georgia's defense is really good.
But
their offense is horrible.
I'm not.
I expected Georgia to win this game based off of defense. Yes. I didn't expect no shootout. I didn't expect no 10-3. But, you know, I'm not
willing to say that Georgia's defense is legit as they think they are for that one game.
I'm not willing to say that their defensive line is as good as they think it is. It's easy for six people to get through a line of five people. There's literally not enough people to block.
I mean, but maybe
somebody's gonna come open.
They probably didn't have any running backs that could actually.
They didn't leave any running backs to block. They were sending five people out on every route. All I'm saying is, if he had time and was missing multiple throws other than the one pick six, you would have more of a point. I'm not saying that DJ went out there and just played great. No, he didn't. He could have helped. He could have definitely tucked and run more than he did. But I'm not finna say that it was his fault that they lost.
I mean, he did throw the pick six.
Okay, it would have been 3-3.
Yes, that's not 10-3 in the final.
Okay. They could have actually drove on the drive that they had the ball in field goal range and they had to punt because they got three straight sacks. I'm not putting that on DJ.
I mean, you're right about that, but at the end of the day, he did throw the pick six.
Okay, but
after that. You're saying that's how they lost the game.
Yes, I said that it was his fault and I said that he should have made a better throw. But I'm talking about after that, when they actually had a chance to come back in the game and they were actually on offense and they were in the red zone. I mean, not the red zone. They were in like the 30 or 40 and then they got three straight sacks and had to punt the ball.
Yeah,
I don't see how that's his fault.
Yeah, I hear you. And I hear you. And what you're saying is not wrong. But for me, I just give more. I don't want to say it, but I give more props to Georgia. The Georgia defense looked very impressive that night.
I mean, they didn't look. You know, just they did what they had to do, and I give them their credit. I mean, but I'm not sitting. I'm not finna sit here and say that they're the Alabama or the LSU of 2019.
I ain't say that.
I just want to see what they look like against more legit competition, but it seems like the only real legit offensive line competition they really going to get is maybe Florida and Alabama and maybe a playoff game.
Or those
Kentucky. No, just
I mean, usually those their biggest task anyway. So.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like I know I'm going to have to deal with the narrative of they have this just ferocious, explosive defense for the whole year when I don't know if that's true or not because I can't see them against a real offensive line.
Bro, Georgia could lose to South Carolina. Calm down.
South Carolina's losing to East Carolina. I'm not going to go there.
We've seen Georgia lose.
You're not wrong. Yeah, but you're not wrong.
They did lose to South Carolina last year. They did lose to South Carolina last year. Or before last.
You're not wrong. And I'm not putting it past them. I'm just saying I'm not putting all my best eggs in the South Carolina basket.
Everybody,
35-28 Oregon with 7:20 left, 3rd and 12. Oregon just got a false start.
All hearts and minds set on moving on to the next segment.
Yep.
Our penalty kick segment. Once again, another quick hitter segment. Where we discuss different topics. Not basically things you won't care about next week. Nothing too major. Derek Jeter gone into the Hall of Fame. Shout out to the kid that his nephew, the same nephew that tipped his hat to him, was in the Hall of Fame induction. So, shout out to Derek Jeter. He inspired a lot of players. I mean, I came up in that era where Derek Jeter was the shortstop. He was the standard. You know what I'm saying? Played for the Yankees. Never had any off the field issues, and he was a Hall of Fame shortstop, obviously. Defensively and with the bat. So, shout out. I was kind of sad when he retired, but that's great. This really didn't surprise anybody that he was first ballot. So, how y'all feel about Derek Jeter?
I feel like it was a great. I feel like he had a great career, and I feel like he was really good in the postseason and took advantage of every opportunity that he was given. That being said, there was a narrative running that if he played for pretty much any other team than the Yankees, that he wouldn't have been, that he wouldn't be one vote shy of unanimous. And I kind of agree with that. I feel like he would be somewhere in between Chipper Jones and Manny Machado. Granted, we have not seen Manny Machado's whole career play out. So don't get upset when I say that. That being said, I feel like a lot of the lore around Derek Jeter is the fact that he's has most playoff games, hits, runs, all that in the playoffs, and then the big flip play in the shovel play. And I think that was the A's. So again, all of that happened in the playoffs. So if he played for a team that he didn't play in the playoffs, you might not have seen Derek Jeter as much, and his numbers wouldn't be as impactful. All that said, I still feel like he would have been a Hall of Famer. I don't believe Chipper was the first ballot. I can't remember. It's not really that important to me. But I still feel like he would have been Hall of Famer, probably first or second ballot. But I kind of agree with the narrative that they were.
How you feel, Mr. Yankees fan?
Yes, sir. Shout out to Derek Jeter. I am a Yankees fan because of Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez. I've always been playing baseball since I was like 4, but I started really watching the game at like 7, 8, and Derek Jeter was the dude. Like, I like this game. I like seeing the Yankees. It's something about the pinstripes. It was something about how everything was. Like, it's just something about the Yankees. And then I look back into the history, to Babe Ruth, for everybody that we had, all the championships. It just, it just drew me into being a Yankees fan and supporting Derek Jeter. And then when Alex Rodriguez came, it just solidified everything from then, because that's when they had Curtis Granderson, Mark Teixeira, and a lot of the people that I actually paid attention to in baseball was on that team. And Alex Rodriguez was a player my dad played against in high school, so I used to always hear stories about him, so I was always interested in him. So, but to me, I think Derek Jeter, I say all of that just to, you know, explain my love for the Yankees. But Derek Jeter is one of the greatest shortstops of all time, one of the greatest players of all time. And it's pretty corny for the dude who didn't give him that last vote for him to be the first unanimous player ever. I think he deserves it. I think he stood a lot. He stood for a lot for baseball. He put baseball on another level. And when you are a New York Yankee, that comes with extra stuff. So for him to carry that and actually win on the highest level and be the captain and stuff like that, that means a lot. Just from, you know, more than a baseball perspective. And for you, and like you said, Jordan, you're right. He probably would have been viewed differently if he didn't have those playoff moments. But he did.
Yeah. I give him credit. I give him credit. Like, he took advantage of every single opportunity he had. Like, every single one of them.
And that's what every player should do. But I really said that to take a shot at everybody else who would either, don't have no money to pay for no players, are horrible at trading, horrible at putting people through the farm, or like Atlanta, who got money but don't want to spend it on people. You know what I'm saying? So I say all of that. With New York gave Derek Jeter help. Gave him help. Won 5 rings. 5-time gold glove. Like, just amazing. Like, shout out to Derek Jeter. Although right now you are doing a C-plus job. And owning the Miami Marlins right now, but
well, they're a competitive team. They're just,
I call them C plus because it's been a minute and they have yet to.
Hey man, they can beat everybody else in the NL East.
Amen.
Oh yeah, before we leave out this one, this man Kevin said it's something about the pinstripes. He is not capping. Literally every single time we try to pick a jersey, the first thing he says is, "Can it have pinstripes?" No.
Pinstripes, man. Like,
no. And you can't shave up there.
It's,
I mean,
so fine.
You can't wear beards.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. I hate that rule.
Moving on. We're moving on to the Basketball Hall of Fame, which is tonight. This is the one Kobe is going in, right? Or was that the last one?
Which one?
The Hall of Fame.
Kobe was in the last one.
Shout out to Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
And
sir.
Macy Edward Christopher Weber.
That's his first name, ain't it?
That's his full name, Macy Edward Christopher Weber.
Yeah, I would've went by Chris too.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Bosh, man. If you a Heat fan, bro, you gonna always love and respect Chris Bosh. Even though we did have moments as fans where we was like, man, why did we sign this guy?
Oh, the first year I hated Chris Bosh with a passion.
Like, man, why did we sign this guy?
I didn't become a Chris Bosh fan until the rebound.
I like Chris Bosh from the jump. I thought he was going to be, he was a key piece for us. I just roasted
him. I always saw him as the backup plan because we wanted Melo and we couldn't get him, so we settled for Chris Bosh.
I mean, but that's a great substitute in my eyes because
you're not wrong, but that's how I viewed him.
He was just I think Chris Bosh was just ahead of his time. Like, if Chris Bosh was playing,
he definitely helped revolutionize the game.
Yeah, because remember during that time we was like, man, Chris Bosh is weak. He's getting pummeled. You know what I'm saying? He don't want to play the five. He keep trying to stretch out to the three and stuff like that. We used to talk a lot of smack about Chris Bosh for doing that, but then it really helped our team, and then it became a everyday thing in the league. So I really respect Chris Bosh, and I like the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame, and his career was unfortunately cut a little bit shorter than what he wanted, but it all worked out for him. He was in the league for 13 years, and he was an 11-time All-Star. Like, that's crazy. Like, pretty much, you came in, did your little thing rookie year, you know, bounced up a little sophomore year, and from that, he was never anything less than an All-Star. That people kind of don't appreciate stuff like that. So, and with Ray Allen's shot wouldn't happen without his rebound and his vision by passing it out. and then coming right back and swatting Danny Green all the way to hell with that block in the corner. So,
yeah, sir.
Shout out to Chris Bosh and shout out to Paul Pierce. We didn't mention him. Shout out to Paul Pierce, a 10-time All-Star, NBA Finals MVP. Had to take a poop to come back on a wheelchair type dude. Paul Pierce was funny. Paul Pierce was a fun player to watch. I honestly didn't know he was a 10-time All-Star until Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen got there. I didn't know he had that many All-Star games under his belt. But I kind of respected him, his game. I just don't like sometimes now as a TV analyst.
He's not a TV analyst no more.
Well, when he was, how you saying he was better than Wade and LeBron is this and that. It's like,
he said that when he played that he was better than LeBron.
Yeah, he's funny. Shout out to Paul Pierce. Chris Webber, I honestly don't believe he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm going to say congratulations.
Basketball Hall of Fame.
We need an NBA Hall of Fame.
We didn't mention Paul Pierce for a reason. I was giving my shout outs. I didn't give Paul Pierce a shout out. Mostly because he said he's not better than me. Mostly because he said he's better than Dwayne Wade. And we know that's not right. Shout out to Jalen Rose for having my boy Dwayne Wade back.
We got to stop putting out. I've been hearing a lot of people been throwing out names talking about somebody better than Dwayne Wade.
Okay,
it's y'all, to stop.
If you were born after 2006, just say that, bro.
just stop because it's not many players better than Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade has solidified himself as the top three shooting guard all time, top 20 player all time. Stop it.
Okay.
Rays have won 8 straight games.
Yes, sir.
That means the Yankees are not going to make the playoffs because they're mud.
I'm dead. We had to throw this in here because Penny said we needed to talk about baseball.
The Yankees are mud.
Okay. Oh, so this is how y'all do it. Instead of just doing what y'all usually do, come in and hype the Braves up, y'all going to come in here and throw
the
Yankees
out. We didn't say anything about the Yankees. We were talking about the Rays. Nah. But,
Yankees.
Shout out to the fact that the Rays, not the Rays, I meant the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are on an 8-game win streak. But yes, they are black in the, they're back in the playoff hunt. I picked them to go to the World Series. So yeah, I feel like this is exactly what the doctor ordered. No cap. They are a half game back of the second wild card spot. They lost to the Orioles last night. They would have had the second one because the Yankees suck and lost to the Mets. Got their doors blown off of them by the Mets.
They're going to lose again.
No cap. They're going to get swept in the Subway Series. How tough.
They say bring in baseball. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Yankees. Okay. Booty.
But yeah, shout out to the fact that the it's really going, the four best teams in the AL are all in the AL East. Like, that's one thing about baseball. You really got to value the regular season because it's not just throwing everybody in the playoffs. You got to, those playoff spots actually matter, unlike other sports.
Games add up too. So okay. you don't got no time to really celebrate or get too low.
Right. And I like how this season is playing out. Even though the Dodgers and the Giants already played their last game, most of the teams, like most of the divisions that are a toss-up, all of the teams play at the end. Like,
we play the Red Sox.
Yeah, I play the Red Sox and the Jays. We play the Mets and the Phillies, and then the the A's. I think they play the Astros at the end of the season. So I feel like this last stretch of baseball is going to be really interesting to see. So I'm really excited for this last run. We got some easy teams. We play the Marlins now, but then we go back and play Colorado, Arizona, and then we got the Padres before we get the Phillies and Mets. So our season, we really in the four and a half game lead, so we really should be straight by the time we get to that last series.
Mike Trout, get your agent on the phone, because we don't make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, y'all not gonna make the playoffs.
Man, there's no way.
Y'all not making the playoffs again.
An 11-game win streak, what, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago?
I think it was 12.
Yeah.
Nope.
It was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
It's like y'all 12. Immediately went straight to losing.
Yes. Why? Because I told you I got happy. I have to be depressed about the Yankees in order for us to succeed.
Well, y'all gonna not succeed anyway, so you might as well be depressed.
It's just crazy, man. Like it's been a turmoil season for the Yankees. Like up and down. Mm.
Lastly, you know how we end the episode around here. We're gonna pick the ending with the BET Hip Hop Awards announcing the nominations for Album of the Year. We thought we'd ask the same question here on Not Another Sports Podcast. So with that being said, we got A Gangster's Pain by Moneybagg Yo, Call Me If You Get Lost, Tyler the Creator, Good News by Meg Thee Stallion, Khaled Khaled by DJ Khaled, Savage Mode 2 by 21 Savage and Metro Boomin, and The Off Season by J. Cole. Well, when I go into what goes into my criteria for picking an album would be how many times I'm gonna replay it. Like how many times replay value. That's what I would call it. I'm gonna go with Savage Mode. I can listen to that album all the time. Yeah, sorry. That being said, who y'all going with here?
The sentimental pick will obviously be The Off Season because J. Cole is one of my favorite artists right now. Probably my second favorite active rapper behind Young Thug. Chance isn't an active rapper. So I'm going to go with, I'm not going to go with The Off Season, even though I did like a lot of songs on there. I felt like the rollout was great, all that. Like Brendan said, I feel like replay value matters, and I do just randomly go through listening to No Ops Left Behind.
Yes, sir.
What was it? Mini Men, stuff like that. Like that album was running, Snitches and Rats. Like that was a really, really good album. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Savage Mode too. But I mean, yeah, of those two, of the albums on there, those are the only two that I listen to. So,
yeah, nothing else on here is really.
Yeah, I mean, everybody says that Tyler the Creator's album was good, but I don't really listen to Tyler the Creator like that. So,
I heard
Kelly's
album was fine.
Same.
I'm gonna go with J. Cole The Off Season. I feel like, to me, replay value. Anything that I like, you know what I'm saying? I like Savage Mode too. That has a lot of replay value. And I like Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler the Creator. That has a lot of replay value for me as well. But to me, what goes into being the best album is, the track list and the rollout, how you execute it, the impact on the culture and stuff like that, and how songs last over time. And his music is also a personal opinion and a preference. But to me, I feel like J. Cole had a lot of substance in his album. He showed a lot of growth. He challenged himself in different things. He had a couple of good features. To me, I still go back and listen to a few songs off the album. But I'll be so locked up in my own world. I'm Vice City Kevin. You already know the vibes. I'd be locked in into my own world, and I'd be locked in into like my homies that be rapping that. I don't really listen to none of these artists like that to, really indulge in them like that. They're more of like playlist artists for me. I don't really listen to full blown albums from people unless it's certain people like a 21 or a J. Cole. And I feel like J. Cole had like the stream. The numbers, like I know that don't count for some people, but it does, you know what I'm saying? So,
Now I will say, my life, Pride is the Devil, and Punching the Clock, those are my three off of there. Like, I really like those songs, but yeah, other than
I like Let Go of My Hand.
Yeah, that one too. Oh, yeah, that one was the one with Boss.
Yeah.
I like that one too. That was a really good story. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, other than on Madden,
when I listen to Pride is the Devil, and on 2K when I hear my, I mean on the commercial when I hear My Life. I haven't really heard those songs in a long time.
It's just, I mean, it just depends on moods right now too. Also, like, right. I don't think, like,
I mean, well, yeah, all of it is how you feel. Because I remember when the album first came out, I listened to Let Go My Hand literally every day.
That's so hard.
Okay. But yeah, I feel like it's really just personal preference, really. I feel like you can't go wrong with either one of those albums. But if I had to choose one over the other, I would probably go Savage Mode 2.
Can't go wrong with that. I like that too. I feel like that's also a very cohesive album that was well put together by 21.
In our Ohio State update, they just threw a pick. It's still 35-28 with 2:44 left. Right. Ohio State's in the calling timeouts part of the game.
This game is over.
Second and six. So if they get a first down, it's a wrap.
Over.
That concludes another episode of your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast. Remember, I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. Make sure you follow me on all social media sites. At Rob was there.
And this is Kevin. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at Vice City Kevo. And be on the lookout for my album, High Mamba 2.
Yes,
coming very, very soon. More of a next week type of thing.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Guys, be on the lookout for that. Put a lot of time, put a lot of thought, put a lot of work, put a lot of everything into this. So yeah, check that out. And
yes sir. This is Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at @this_guy11 and on Instagram at @_thisguy11. Follow the sports pages on Facebook and Instagram at Not Another Sports Podcast and on Twitter at @n_a_s_podcast. Make sure you listen to us on all audio platforms by searching Not Another Sports Podcast. You can watch us live every Saturday on YouTube at Cool Telly. Yes, sir. And that'll do it. Shout out to y'all for listening. Make sure you give us some feedback on the audio files. Just make sure you like, subscribe, give us all 5 stars, give us some comments, give us feedback.
Sure.
Share, tell your friends, put us on all your socials.
And support the VCK merch that's coming soon.
You know what I'm saying?
Get in contact. Not Another Sports Podcast merch is also coming soon. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we are not stopping, guys. You know, not stopping. And with all that being said, Black Lives Matter.
Always.
Wash your hands.
Always.
Don't fall for none of the agendas that's out here.
Facts.
And go Gators.
Roll Tide.